Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, today there's not really too much to unpack for you. You know, last week I talked about shouldas, wouldas, and couldas and seen that in Paul's readings. But why am I not unpacking anything today? Because it's all right there, isn't it? You know, that's one of the things that's really nice about doing this kind of service is because we are actually hearing the story before we get to the sermon today. You know, we've been talking about the love of Jesus and you know, sharing it with people about salvation. We've already touched on that. We're going to get it again here after my sermon. When we do song, we're joining together with all of the history of Christians who have worshiped Jesus Christ and have been a part of the eternal worship for 2,000 years. The thing that was sad about 600 AD, Pope Gregory the Great took the service, and instead of having the people do the service that it has been done before that, he turned it away from the people to the clergy. All right, now, we know that the liturgy came out of what is a book called the De Dedicate, about 80 AD. So we worship the way that the apostles told us to worship. But the thing about that is the people worshiped, not just the clergy. And coming into that time, there were many different kinds of services. In England, there was a service called the Sarum Rite, which was Salisbury Cathedral. We had the Burgundian Rite, which was in the area of Burgundy in northern France. We had the Notre Dame Rite. So we had all these different services in the language of the people. So the Sarum Rite was in English, Notre Dame Rite was in French. The Burgundian language was used in Burgundy. Well, the thing is, if you were English and went to a church in France, how do you worship? All right, so as a unification factor, the Pope came up with one service, and we did it all in Latin. Well, the thing is that when you have mostly farmers who are uneducated and don't speak Latin, is it coming to them? No. And one of the major tenets of the Reformation was people should be able to participate in their service and not simply observe it. And so what we're doing right now was a gift of the Reformation. And Luther invented a thing called the Lutheran Chorale, which is nothing but a hymn. So hymns came out of that time period. Let's look at Luther for a second. You know, I've shared with you many times that Luther has said that the power of music, it's the only one of man's endeavors that has the power to keep the devil at bay. Because what Luther said is that music is a gift from God, it's not a work of man. Now stop and think about that. Men write the words, men sing the music, but yet it's from God, not from man. Well, let's look at Luther's music background. As a child, he sang in a church choir, in a boys' choir. He also played flute, which means recorder, as a kid. He also played the lute and the mandolin. So you're looking at someone who has a very strong music background. All the hymns that he wrote usually were a little different from the way we sing them today. For example, a mighty fortress is our God. It's not the way Luther wrote it. A mighty fortress is our God. He said music should dance. Stop and think about that. So we've taken a dance and we've turned it into a Germanic, you know, type thing. But the thing is, music should be of the people. It should dance. It should make you want to move because it's that gift from God. And in fact, on Luther's tomb, a mighty fortress is our God, is what is inscribed on his stone. But I found it very interesting. I was looking at some of the hymns that Luther did. Listen to these for a second. And these were all in his first hymnal. All praise to thee, eternal Lord. Christ Jesus lay in death's strong hands. From depths of woe, I rise to thee. and Savior of the nations come. When you listen to those, what story is that? It means turn back to Jesus. And remember, I've told you so many times, we confess what we sing and we sing what we confess. Now, let's talk about his influence. Well, one of the things that comes to me is Martin Luther King Sr. and Martin Luther King Jr. Sr. changed his name because he so respected what Luther did in standing up for the Bible and what he believed. But there was one, as I was doing my research for my sermon today, one of the other people who was really influenced by Luther was Frank Capra, the movie maker, the director. I didn't know that. And he wrote a whole treatise on this, Music and the Spoken Word, The Light and Love of Freedom. You know, and I'm sitting here, he was Sicilian, but he wrote this paper about what he had gotten about the Word of God and music and this kind of thing. You know, and stop and think, It's a Wonderful Life was a Frank Capra movie. You know, he witnessed through his medium, and I thought that was fantastic. Well, is this a new concept? No. I mean, that's always been there. You know, for people to participate in the service rather than merely to observe it, it had to influence the people of that time. Now, I mentioned a little bit about that first hymnal that Luther put together, but there was one non-Luther hymn that was in there. It's All Glory, Loud, and Honor. All glory, loud, and honor to the Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosannas ring. You know, when you listen to those words, you think, oh, what an influence. 820 AD, Bishop Theodulf of Orléans, France, got into an argument with the Pope. And the Pope came to France, threw him in prison. And he never lost his faith. And while he was in prison, he wrote this hymn. And during the Palm Sunday procession to Paris, okay, as the king and the pope were coming down, Bishop Theodulf sang that hymn. They stopped the procession and listened. They pulled him out of prison, reinstated him as bishop because of his faith. Now, that's the only non-Luther hymn that was in that first hymnal. Is there power in music? You bet there is. Well, music and the word are the core of our worship, isn't it? You know, we don't do the full liturgy, and we're working towards it. We're adding things and talking about it. But there's one part that we talked about in our prayer for today. This is the one time when all the hosts of heaven come together with heaven and earth, and we join together. Now, the section of the Mass, and the Lutheran service is a Mass, we follow the historic liturgy of the Church. There's a section called the Sanctus. And Sanctus just means holy. And it's the triple holy, 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 holy. Okay, we're going to do another version of that in two. But that is what we call the historic preface to the Sanctus. And I think it's very important because listen to this. Some of you are going to recognize this. Now, it's going to be a little different from some of them because I went back. This is the very first proper preface. This is the one that we added at the very beginning. It is indeed good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places, sound familiar for many of you? Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, who in the multitude of your saints did surround us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, rejoicing in their fellowship, may run with patience the race that is set before us and, together with them, may receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the hosts of heaven, we loud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth. What is Sabaoth? That's all the hosts of heaven. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see many of you out there singing it with me. You know, when we do that, we are singing that together with all of heaven and earth, with angels and archangels and all the hosts of heaven. Is there power in that music? Okay. Isn't it a beautiful thing, too, to think that's the one time where everything comes together? But I found it very interesting today that our hymns that you folks selected tell the story of Jesus. Now, what I did is write down one or two verses from each one of these as we'll go. For the first one, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, from John. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. Have you ever noticed when you sing hymns that underneath the name of the hymn is the scripture where it came from? Okay? And that's one of the things that's great. All right, trust and obey was our next one. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Remember, I've talked to you many times about we don't learn from what we do well. We learn from when we screw up. Okay? And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order, what was that name again? Melchizedek. Yeah, I know, that's one of those. You know, say that three times fast, right? Now, next one we did was Be Thou My Vision. Okay, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. A letter of Christ delivered by us. I love to tell the story, too, isn't it? Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Folks, you just sang all this, didn't you? How many of you realized what you were singing? Okay, Amazing Grace. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And there was much joy in that city. What hymn is that? I love to tell the story. And in the garden, we haven't done that yet, that's after. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed in the garden. How great thou art, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and by the outstretched arm, nothing is too hard from you. And then finally, oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Oh, Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with white as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. And I don't know who put down Jesus Christ as risen today. I'm not going to fess up to it, huh? But what a way to end our service today. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Jesus Christ is risen today. Folks, I didn't write this. God wrote this. All I'm doing is telling you the scripture was used for the music you picked. Like I said, I didn't have to unpack anything today, did I? Isn't that a blessing? And in our last hymn, "Is on a hill far away, stood the old rugged cross." And I think that's a nice way to finish this up today. You know, love, peace, salvation, and seeing Jesus in heaven. And it's just as he told us. What joy this message gives. This is what we believe and what we have confessed today. What a blessing we have received. May this joy, peace, and love that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah and amen.